Today, we are looking at embracing discipline for a better tomorrow. Now, I just want to show hands. When you hear the word discipline, how many of you go, Yahoo, I love it? A couple of you. Okay, yeah. Thank you, type A's. We appreciate you, and we need you, right? Okay? And how many of you, when you hear discipline, you go, oh, I don't think I like that? Okay. The other 60% of you didn't raise your hand. Thank you for being the golden retrievers. You don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We appreciate that. All right. So when I think of discipline, you know, I go back to my childhood days. And I remember the discipline of my mom and my dad. And I remember there wasn't, when I was in the midst of it, I didn't like it. But as an adult, I'm so grateful for it. And when it comes to the idea of discipline from God, I think oftentimes we don't want it for what we see it is. But if we could have our eyes open to see how it's all based on the love of the Father, it might change our view and help us embrace it. So that's what we're going to look at today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and let's invite Him to speak to us. Lord, I just humble myself this morning. And I just ask you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would speak through me this morning. God, I'm grateful that you have taught me that your discipline is good. And that you do so because you love me. And God, sometimes we struggle with that because a lot of folks in this room have had bad discipline. They've had people discipline them out of anger, discipline them out of jealousy, discipline them out of their own selfish motives. But Lord, help us to understand that your discipline is truly coming solely out of love. And so I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to see that how we embrace that, Lord, can really shape a better tomorrow. I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you got your listening guides, and everybody's program that we pass out, there's a listening guide. You can walk through that, okay? And everybody's listening guide, the first thing we need to do is to embrace discipline as a good thing. Embrace it as a good thing. So those few folks that raised their hand, well done. Because discipline is a good thing. But our culture doesn't like to be rebuked. In our culture today, we get offended very easily when people say things to us that we don't like. There seems to be a greater move more and more each day that you can't even suggest that somebody is wrong in their thinking or their actions because you are imposing upon them your views. But I would say in a Christian community that that's not meant to be. I would say to you that God's desire is that we learn to do as Proverbs says and have iron sharpening iron. And that we choose to sharpen one another in Christian love and helping each other grow instead of ignoring things that are there. That we embrace this idea of discipline. Proverbs 12:1 says, to learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Now, that's a strong word there. To learn, you must love discipline. So how do you learn to love it? Well, to learn to love it, you have to recognize that when God disciplines you, it's a good thing. And that even when others discipline you, it can be a good thing if we will receive it and respond. Proverbs 3:11-12, just a couple pages back from the other Proverbs, says this. Says, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. So the idea is this. By the fact that you're being disciplined by God, that's a sign that you're a child of God. I had a Christian friend that he came to me one time, a young man, and he said, Steve, I'm so frustrated. I said, why is that? He said, it seems like any time I do anything wrong, I'm the guy that gets caught. He said, do you ever feel that way? I said, sure. I said, you know why that is, don't you? He said, why? I said, because the Holy Spirit lives within you. And the Holy Spirit will speak to you about those things. And God doesn't want you to continue down a path of evil. And if you're starting that direction, just know God's going to bump you back. And I find that usually God does that through a whisper of the Holy Spirit. When we're thinking about doing something wrong, the Holy Spirit will whisper to us and say, that's not a good idea. You don't want to go down that path. Don't say that to your spouse. Bite your tongue. You know, you ever had them? Oh, the Holy Spirit's literally just trying to give you advance warning, and then you don't listen. And then you say or do what you shouldn't. And then you want to justify it, and the Holy Spirit won't let you do that. So he'll bring it to your attention, and he'll tap you on the shoulder and say, now you don't need to go apologize. And then if you don't listen to that, that's when I in my life, at least, I see him bringing out the spanking stick. That's what we call it in my family, the spanking stick. It's that rod of correction. And I find he usually tries to start light by letting me feel some of the disappointment and pain from what I did. And if I don't listen, he will continue to correct and rebuke me either through others or through situations in my life. And I think it's a good thing. I think that God wants us to have discipline. Now, if you haven't ever had to discipline somebody, it may be harder to understand because, again, in my teenage years, when my dad said, go get the spanking stick, I didn't go, oh, thanks, Dad, for loving me. You are the best dad in the world. The way that you disciplined me, I'm so grateful. I didn't, right? And yet I'm grateful. I had parents that they disciplined me consistently and in love and modeled that for me. And so for myself, you know, I continue to discipline my children in love, but also those I love around me, my friends, speaking truth into their life, helping them understand what God would have them to do in a situation. Now, that's not quite the same as discipline. That's admonishing or hopefully encouraging them. But I want you to see that your Heavenly Father also disciplines you because he loves you. So, for example, several years ago, my boys had some friends come over to hang out. And we had a fire going, and, you know, they're sitting around talking around the fire. And next thing I know, everybody's kind of yelling, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. And I finally figured it out. Somebody had thrown gasoline on the fire. Now, if there's anything I've told my kids, it's number one, gas and fire don't mix. Do not ever use the two together. But you know how it could be with boys. I just want to see how big that fire can be. And so there was a pow, there was a couple of yells, and then there's finger pointing who did what, who was talking the brother into throwing the gas on because they knew somebody would get in trouble, and who was actually the one that actually put the gas on the fire. Now, I got to tell you, I got upset. My first thought is you guys could have killed yourself. If you had taken that whole thing of gas and poured it on there, if they had just taken a cup full, I mean, they literally could have hurt themselves for the rest of their life. And so I pulled them in. We had the conversation about why it's such a big deal. We had the finger pointing going this way. And I just basically said, here's the deal. Both of you need to learn a lesson. And I gave them one of the biggest spankings of their life. And I gave them a big spanking, not because I was mad at them, although I was mad. But I gave them that because I wanted them to know that they could have lost their life. I wanted them to understand that this was a big deal and that they needed to understand how much I love them, their mom loved them, and we wanted to protect them from making the wrong decision later in life. Now, I would just encourage you, your Heavenly Father loves you so much more than your earthly father ever could. I love my kids, and I can't imagine God loving them more, but according to the Word of God, I believe he does. And in the same way, he loves you. So when he wants to discipline you, if you will realize he's doing it out of love, then you can embrace that discipline, and you can learn from that discipline because he's trying to protect you from something later on. He's trying to help you not go through the hurt of something else. Well, the second thing about embracing discipline is you need to humble yourself to receive the discipline of others, not just the Lord. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6, you may have heard of this one, says an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. You might want to underline that verse. I love that. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. Have you ever had a close friend come and speak truth into your life? Did you receive it? Or did you tell them, who are they to talk into your life? I'll never forget my sophomore year of college. Moved out in an apartment with a couple of buddies, and I'm a total extrovert, so as you've noticed, I love to be around people, and I got to notice that on Friday night, it got harder and harder to get friends to go hang out. You know, hey, you want to go play Frisbee? No, I'm too busy. You want to go to the movies? I got something planned. And literally, I got to where I was calling a lot of people, and nobody was able to go for weeks on end. And I called one friend one time and said, hey, you want to go and hang out and such, and he said, Steve, he said, have you not noticed that people don't want to hang out with you? Of course, I was oblivious. I was like, well, I have noticed it's kind of hard to get people to, seems like everybody's so busy these days. And my friend loved me enough to actually share with me the truth. He said, Steve, it's not that everybody's too busy. It's just that you're difficult to be around. Your sarcasm and your jokes are always at the expense of someone else. And it's gotten to the point that people don't want to hang around you. I didn't see it. I really didn't. I thought I was being funny. I didn't stop to think how much I was hurting those around me. And I'm so grateful for that friend sharing that. I mean, I remember it to this day. You know, it's funny. Compliments disappear in your mind so quickly, don't they? But genuine, loving rebukes will find a parking place that you can learn from. And I think, or I'd at least like to think, that I've learned from that. That I've chosen not to make people the jokes or the brunt of my jokes or the point of my sarcasm, but have chosen to value people more than a laugh and brothers and sisters more than a joke. And so I'm so grateful for that friend that shared that with me. And I'm grateful that the Lord spoke to my heart and said, listen. Well, it's a little bit easier to learn from the rebuke of a friend. What about someone that is not a friend? What about something that's someone that's kind of almost an enemy? A coworker that's after your job, or an employee or a boss that seems to be riding your case all the time. Look at Proverbs 13:8. Proverbs 13:8 says, if you ignore criticism, you will end in poverty and disgrace. If you accept correction, you will be honored. What if that criticism is just from a negative person? Should you even listen to it? For me, I get a lot of people have opinions about how I can do my job, how the church should go. Everybody's got an opinion, right? In this room, there's 700 opinions. And you probably have the same thing in your life. You know, you have in-laws or family members that want to tell you how you should raise your kids. You have family members that want to tell you how you should grandparent kids. You have neighbors that want to tell you how high your grass should be and how often it should be cut. All these folks have statements and opinions in your life. What part do you receive and what part do you ignore? Well, a wise person will not ignore criticism. A wise person will listen and then have a filter. You've got to have a filter. Someone said to me a long time ago, they said, what you need to do, they said, it's like eating fish. You eat the meat and you throw away the bones. So when someone is sharing something that's critical of maybe the way that you work, maybe a word that you said, I want to challenge you to listen. And even if their heart was wrong when they shared that with you, what if you listen and you filter that through the lens of Scripture and the Holy Spirit and say, you know what, Lord, if there's anything worth hearing here, let me receive it. And if it's not, let it just go away. Let me just ignore it. And that's kind of a tool that has really helped me, because sometimes I found that even a broken clock is right twice a day. Right? And so even if somebody has no intention to build you up, but only to criticize you, they might still have a valid point in what they're sharing with you. Proverbs 15:31 says, if you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home with the wise. I don't know about you, but I want to be at home with the wise. I want to be the man of God that God wants me to be. And to do that, I need to learn from others that are around me. And you need the same. Be sure and remember, eat the meat, throw out the bones. Now, the third thing is lovingly discipline or rebuke those you love. Now, this is where the tide gets turned. From what do you do when you are rebuked to now, how do you deal with someone that has an issue in their life that you see and maybe they themselves don't see it? Maybe they don't realize how their actions and their words are destroying their family. Maybe they don't see how they're torpedoing their own future on the job because of the way that they're not working or the way they're speaking to others at work. Maybe they don't realize how their harshness or of tone always makes it feel like they're condemning you and others. How do you go to that person and help them understand that? Well, Ephesians 6:4 says this. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way that you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I would say to you that the discipline and instruction needs to come from the Lord, not yourself. I always have to check my attitude. Do I want to say this to this person because I want to get a dig in on them? Or do I really want to see them find the love of God and to find the mercy of God and allow God to change them? Because it's hard. I don't like to do it. Honestly, I don't. I don't like to do it with my kids. I wish me and my family could just go and hang out all the time and I'd never have to say, hey, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't make that comment. Don't be selfish. I wish that was the case, but it's not. And so how do we do this? How do we rebuke? The key word is love. Lovingly rebuke. Paul is writing the Ephesians here in Ephesians 6, and he says, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Bring them up at discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. That's the way the Lord does it. He disciplines us in love because he wants what's best for us. In the same way, I want to challenge us to start with our families. If you're a grandparent, if you're a parent, if you're an aunt and uncle, if you're someone that takes care of children, I want to encourage you, always discipline in love. Now, here's a tip that I don't even know if it's why they did it, but one thing that my dad did was he always told me to go get the spanking stick. I knew where it was. It hung on the wall in a prominent position in the laundry room. And I mean, we had a big one. He bought that at Six Flags. I thought that was kind of mean. We go to Six Flags, and there's this really nice big paddle that long, and it says Six Flags over Texas. And he's like, that would make a great spanking stick. Go buy that. I'm like, oh, great, great. So it's kind of like, you know, go get your own switch, but ours was a paddle. But I've learned that we have a spanking stick. It's not that big, but we have one, and it's in the back corner of my bedroom. And what I've learned is if I tell my kids to go get the spanking stick, that by the time we both get back there, because we always go to the bedroom so it's quiet, so everybody else isn't, somebody's not being embarrassed by being disciplined for their siblings. But by the time we get back there, it's like I've cooled down. I think that's why they used to say go get your own switch. Well, that gives you at least 30 seconds to kind of calm down and not be angry when you're disciplining. I think that's really wise. And there's some times that we get ready and I'll be getting ready to give a spanking and I feel like the Lord says it's time to show mercy. They've learned their lesson. And then there's times, I think I heard the voice say, bring the heat. So the key is, it's never abuse. Don't ever do that. Don't ever make it where Somebody got to come to you and speak to you about abusing your kids. It's got to be done in love. If you can't do it in love, then find another way. Tell them to come back in an hour if that's how long it takes you to calm down. Tell them to come back the next day. You'll have your decision made. But choose to discipline in love. Proverbs 13:24 is a famous verse. People say, if you've heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child, comes from this verse. It says, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Listen, I know it's hard to discipline your kids. And I know we live in a day where the world is telling us not to discipline our kids. We could just talk to them and ration with them, and at the age of three, they'll just figure it all out and they'll just stop sinning. And I just don't believe it's true. And maybe if you got one kid, you know, and you can always like give them that attention on the timeouts or whatever. But I'm just telling you, God calls us to lovingly discipline our children. That's the key, lovingly discipline. And I want to encourage you to find out creative ways. One of the favorite things I like to do is find creative ways, discipline things that make sense to them. You know, some folks have takes away the kids' tablets or whatever. If you do, let me just say this. Whatever you do, you need to be consistent. You've got to be consistent. If you say, hey, I'm going to take your tablet away for a week. If you do that again, they do it again. Don't say, did you hear what I said? I said, if you do that again, I'm going to take your tablet away. Oh, you did it again? Well, you know, if it happens again, I'm going to take your tablet away. We were in group years ago with the family. They used the 1-2-3 method. Not opposed to it, as long as you're consistent and you actually do something. But they would always get stuck on 2.5. You know what I'm saying? Now, I told you to quit running in the house. You know, and kid comes running around again. 1, 2. I'm at 2, 2.5. You know what happens if I get to 3? I was there, I just want to go, 3, 3, 3. Please get to 3. A kid needs consistency. Just consist. If you do the 1, 2, 3, when you get to 3, then whatever you tell them you're going to do, do it. Don't give them a 2.5. They need consistency in love. Because if you're like me, I mean, as a young kid and as a teenager, I always wanted to know where that line was. And I would push mom and dad until I found the line, right? So parents, we've got to be consistent with that line. They need to know where it really is. And grandparents, listen, I know that you love to spoil your grandkids, but I want to implore you, if you're going to love on your grandkids, please carry out the rules, the teachings of your children, so that you can honor them as parents as well. I can't wait to be a grandparent. I hear it's awesome. I hear it's better than raising your own kids. Don't know, I hadn't been there, but I can't wait for it. And I do expect to, you know, be able to spoil them a little bit. But also, if their parents have told me they can't watch this movie, I don't need to show them that movie and try to make them think I'm better than their parents, right? And for those of you that are co-parenting, you know, you've been through a divorce and you've got a mixed family, you've got to be in unity on this. I've counseled a lot of families that are blended families. And one of the best things I can encourage you is that in advance, decide what your discipline tools are going to be. If it's timeouts, if it's take away the tablet, your kids need consistency. You need to love them enough to work in advance and make a plan so that they have unity on the parenting front. So that they know they can't just go to mama and get one answer, go to daddy and get another answer, right? One of the things we learned early on was we actually said there's only a couple of things we give spankings for, but one of them is if you go to mama and get a no, and then you go to daddy and get a yes, and you don't tell daddy that you got a no from mama. We're not going to let the kids play each other against each other. So consistency in love, that's the plan of the Lord, is to discipline in love, because the goal is to prepare them for life, right? The goal is to prepare our children for life. I'll never forget a time when I was a teenager and I was out of town with the family. And I would go, we'd go to this place and I would work while I was there. And it was just part of my family vacation, but I would sell t-shirts. It was a car show. And so I would sell t-shirts. And so about halfway through the week, I got a little crazy and did something stupid. In my foolishness, I broke a table at the hotel we were staying, shattered the glass. And my dad found out about it, and he said, well, what are we going to do about it? I said, I don't know. He said, I tell you what, I'll go talk to the hotel. So my dad went and talked to the hotel, came back. I said, what'd they say? He said, it costs $115 for that table. He said, so I guess we know what your money's going for this week that you're working. I said, okay. And I worked all week. End of the week, I paid him my $115, and so we were squared away, and boy, I learned a lesson, didn't I? I worked a whole week for one stupid mistake, for one poor judgment decision, and I had to pay the price. Years later, maybe even just 5 years ago, I was talking to my dad, and he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that time you broke that glass table. I said, oh, I remember it. Took me all week to earn that money to pay that hotel for the table. My dad looked at me and said, you didn't pay that hotel for a table. I said, what? He said, yeah, the insurance covers that. I said, I thought I paid the $115 to the hotel. He said, no, I went and talked to him. They said insurance would cover it. He said, but I said, well, I thought I was paying for a table. He said, no, son, you were paying for a lesson. Right? Good wisdom. I'm so grateful. Now, if he'd have told me that when I paid it, I'd have been upset. But as a dad now, I look back, I go, man, that was brilliant. Even though I didn't have to pay for it, he knew I needed to pay for it so that I would learn a lesson. And yet the mentality I hear today so often is, oh, not only should my kid not pay for what he broke, but I'm not even going to discipline him or tell him it was wrong. I'm just going to try to protect him because, gee, everybody knows it was an accident. I just want to encourage you, loving discipline. If we embrace it, it's a good thing. It will protect our children, as it says in Scripture. Well, the fourth thing, receive and submit to the discipline of God. Receive and submit to the discipline of God. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says this, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one as he accepts as his child. Okay, if you want to grow in your faith, then you need to receive the correction of the Lord. You need to receive it, and you need to apply it. Now, how do you know if it's God? How do you know if it's God disciplining you or just a bad day? It's kind of like, we played dodgeball yesterday, and my arm is sore. And so is that God punishing me? No, that's me being a little bit too old to be playing dodgeball with a bunch of 20-year-olds, right? If you stub your toe as you're going across the threshold, is that God trying to punish you because you didn't pick your foot up? I don't think so. I think you should have picked your foot up and you wouldn't have stubbed your toe. You can't look at everything and go, oh, God's trying to punish me. That was what the Jews were doing. They believed if someone was born blind, that the mom and the dad must have sinned in such a way that God is punishing the family. They believed if you got leprosy as an adult, that you must be evil on the inside, and therefore you got leprosy as God's judgment upon you. And so they would take that and they would use it almost as a beating stick to make you feel like less than. When God disciplines, it's not because he's trying to make you feel less than. He's trying to teach you a lesson that will help you later in life. And so what I do when something happens, something that's bad to me, maybe I blow a tire on the interstate, maybe I lose some money in a bad car purchase and try to resell it or something. Whatever it is, maybe I try to reflect to go, okay, God, is there something you're wanting to teach me? Is there something you're wanting to show me? I didn't get that promotion. Everybody else got that promotion. I thought you told me to apply for that promotion. I didn't get it. Is there something you're trying to tell me? And it may be you come away and you feel like, no, feel like everything's good. But sometimes God will use discipline to wake us up. Many people in this room, you came to faith in Jesus Christ because you hit a wall in your life. Maybe through addiction, maybe through divorce, maybe through the loss of a loved one. And I would say to you that some of those may have been disciplined, some of those not. But my point is, will we reflect and receive and learn from God's lessons? Because he wants to teach us. He wants us to be more like him. He wants us to understand humility, love, forgiveness, grace. He wants that for each one of us. Well, the biggest form of submission and humility is submitting our life to Jesus Christ. Jesus has a plan for each one of us in here. His plan is for us to know him, to follow him, to love him. He wants us to be his children, and he wants us to be loved by him, but we have to choose to surrender and submit. We have to choose to follow. I would invite you to bow your head with me. First of all, I want you to think, has anybody spoke truth into your life lately and you've rejected it when you needed to hear it? Has the Lord spoke anything into your life lately and you rejected it instead of hearing it and obeying it? If so, I want to invite you to surrender that to God today, to in confession to him. Receive that discipline and thank him for it even, and believe that he's going to use it for something even greater. If you're here today and you've never known the love of God as a father, then I want you to know that your father loves you and he wants you to have that relationship. He wants you to call him father and he wants to call you his child. If you have never given your life to Christ, then I invite you to pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now, to give your life to him. Dear God, today I surrender all. Please forgive me for fighting against you when you're trying to discipline me for what I did wrong. Today, Lord, I ask Jesus Christ to forgive me for my sins and to be my Savior and Lord. Pray that in his name. Amen.